You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, hello, and welcome to the show today. LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life, here coming to you live. I am currently in Edmonton, Alberta, the frozen north, except it's unfreezing, and the weather's really nice here this whole week, and we're moving right on into spring, I guess so, since it's the middle of April, right? Although this bird behind me, this phoenix, is roasting hot. It's really interesting that I picked that background today because I had a couple of coaching calls today where that just was the very appropriate background. And here's why. And this is about creating your ultimate life. Remember, your ultimate life is creating a life that you love. Like you absolutely love your life and you don't think, oh, I can't wait till, you know, this is over, or I can't wait till, you know, something is different. It'll be good when, like, if you live your life waiting for the end of something and the beginning of something else, you're never going to be happy. The key is to learn to be happy now. And yeah, that means even in the midst of struggle. Even in the midst of things not going like you want, because struggle is an imaginary concept. And I might be pissing you off, but pain is essential, suffering is optional. Somebody said that. I've read it several places, and I think it came from a Buddhist saying, but it doesn't really matter. It's true. Pain is things that are unexpected that happen that are different than we wanted, and it causes, you know, an immediate pain. You know, you hurt your arm or something. Most of the ones that are really bad are you hurt your heart. But suffering is the ongoing struggle from that thing. And that is optional. After the pain, you can end the suffering immediately. Now, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, let's talk about that, because that's really what we want to talk about. I want to talk about change. But change is what we have to do if we're going to create that ultimate life. Life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, unless you already have it. So how's this for a weird statement? I just said pain is necessary, suffering is optional. Here's another one. You live in an illusion. We live in an illusion. Now, I don't mean the Matrix or some weird, you know, bad robot behind the scenes is trying to make your life miserable or have you plugged into some weird battery or something. I'm not talking about that. But here's a point. Okay, I want you to think of a time right now in your life where you have been happy. Things were going well for you. And then something occurred to you, a thought, a memory, a realization. And all of a sudden, in a flash, you went from happy to uptight, worried, angry, frustrated, negative. Like it shifted just like that. Because you remembered something or you thought something. Or think of it the other way around. You were unhappy, frustrated, bored, angry, tired, you know, not good. And then it changed immediately. Something went, you thought of something good. Your thinking changed. Now, that happens to all of us. But the circumstances around us didn't change. We're sitting in the same chair, breathing the same air. Our heart is beating the same. Maybe it beat a little faster when you thought something different. But the only thing that changed is the drama in your head. Now that happens, for example, if you've had a conversation with a loved one and you're thinking about what they said. And the more you think about it, the madder you get. I remember hearing my mother particularly say that, the more I think about it, the madder it makes me. And I didn't know, I didn't even begin to realize the truth of that until many years later. The more you think about it, the madder it does make you, or the happier or more grateful you get. So, but it's the thinking. So if you can change from happy to sad, or from sad to happy, in literally a moment, an instant, then you know that the drama is all in your head because nothing changed. I'm not talking about suddenly a jet engine falling on your house. It happens in your head. Now, that's why I say you live in an illusion, because the only thing that changes is your mind. Now, I'll give you an example of that in real life. Probably 10 or 11 years ago, I was in Phoenix at the time, actually more than that, maybe 14 years ago. I was in Phoenix and I was out walking the dog one morning. And I got up that morning, things were great. I was feeling good. Yeah, having a good day. And out walking the dog, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, and walked across this really busy street to this big undeveloped area, but it was going to be developed. They'd put in the pipes and some of the roads. Not all of them, but some of the roads. And there was a sales office over there. And it was a pretty big subdivision, a mile by a mile. So a whole square mile. It's quite a large 640-acre subdivision. Anyway, we were walking there and things were going fine. And then I got a text. And the text was not good. The text was negative. Something had happened. And then I got a phone call. And something else untoward happened, bad. You know, I don't remember what it was now, but it was another thing. And then I got an email, and it was a third thing, and they were really upsetting things. So these are not only in my mind, they're externalities. In other words, I got the text, I got the phone call, and I got the email. But in the space of about 3 or 4 minutes, I went from happy, not worrying about anything, to scared, angry, frustrated. I was like literally at the verge of emotional breakdown. I was starting to feel like I was going to cry or fall apart or something. The messages were that severe. So I'm walking along, getting ready to sit down, right? Curve on the sidewalk. I was going to sit down there and get myself together. And then I looked at the dog. And the dog, was pulling on the leash pretty hard because there were some rabbits running by where we lived at that time in Phoenix. And it was not too hot. It wasn't summer, like bad summer yet. So the rabbits out and stuff. So the dog was just yarding on the lead, wanting to chase the rabbits. And he wasn't having any of this misery. So I had gone from blissful to total meltdown, from zero to the red, banging in the red zone. And the dog wasn't having any of it. And I thought to myself, this dance is all in my head. Like nothing around me has happened. And so much so that the dog is not having any of it. And so I thought, since this all happened in 2 minutes, and I went from blissful to meltdown in just a few minutes, I wonder if I can go back. Now, I can't have the phone call, and I can't undo the email, and I can't unsee the text. But since it's all in my head anyway, like nothing had happened, I heard a voice. I read some words. Nothing had exploded. The house wasn't gone. Nobody had died. Wasn't that? I think the pressures were something performance related or something financial. I don't really remember. But the point was, nothing had happened at that moment. So there was nothing different in my world, certainly not around me physically, and not even in real life. They were just information about something. And so the question, and I think is really legit, was, can I go back? How come I can't go from blown up to blissful again? And I looked at the dog and I thought, you know what? If the dog can be in this situation and be blissful, and we have the phrase blissfully unaware, then I can too. I can do that also. And I did. And I created a system to do that. And it's contained in a course I have called Master Your Monsters. So if you want that, go to masteryourmonsters.com. MasterYourMonsters.com. And if that's not it, it's MasterYourMonsters.ca, like this one on the screen, .ca in Canada. I don't remember. So MasterYourMonsters.com, I think, or .ca. But anyway, and it's free. And the story about the dog is just one of a dozen stories about difficult things, about things that derail us from time to time. Anyway, so that was an example of change. I changed from happy to very upset in just a couple minutes. And then I figured out, just by having this incident with the dog and thinking about that it was all in my head, how to change it back to blissful again. And then I realized this will work anytime, anywhere. Now, that's just a story, and the exact process isn't for today, but it's in that masteryourmonsters.com. And go there. I use monsters as the as a metaphor, because when we're young, often there's, you know, kids are scared of monsters. It might be in the closet or under the bed or somewhere. In fact, the whole movie Monsters, Inc. is built around that. Then we grow up and we realize there aren't monsters under the bed or in the closet, but as grown-ups, we have monsters that still eat our lunch from time to time. I have no time. It's not my fault, monster. The I'm not good enough, monster. The I'm unworthy, monster. The what if they find out, monster. The imposter syndrome. All those things are different names for those imaginary monsters. And so that's why I built the course. Anyway, go get that for free. It'll be fun for you. Change is our topic today. How do we create change? And it's so important because we live in that illusion. In other words, what we perceive is what we believe is happening. If we perceive that something is dangerous, we get upset and we react and act as if it's dangerous, whether it is or not. And that's what I mean by we live in an illusion. We live in what we perceive to be real. That makes change extraordinarily difficult, because if change was as simple as I got a stack of books here and I want them over here, I could just move the books and then the change is complete. But the problem with this illusion business is we believe our own thinking. If we think something is bad, then it is. We believe it, and that has a stamp of truth. And so changing that is more difficult, and it's made even further unreachable by the fact that years and years go by. We get programmed like a computer by our beliefs, by our families, by churches, by society, by our expectations, by previous failures, by friends and school and places we've been and stuff that have it's all happened to us. We get programmed with a set of beliefs. Now, I'm not disputing what happened, but what I am calling your attention to is what you believe about what happened. So I'll give you another example. When I was a senior in high school, I had a solo, a piano solo. I played the piano and I played the song Rhapsody in Blue, which is a difficult piece for a high schooler, as a duet, piano and band, and the band was the other piano. So it was written originally by George Gershwin to be done with piano and like a small jazz orchestra. And it's been done for two pianos and piano solo and all kinds of stuff. And it's a very famous piece of jazz repertoire. Anyway, I had learned that difficult piece, and when my band director found out that I could play it, he got the music and wanted to do it with the band. So I practiced as much as I knew how. And when the time came for the performance, there was one part of it where I made some mistakes. You know, I just botched part of it, a page. It's like 29 pages, and there was a page or half a page or something where, you know, you couldn't ignore it. I blew it. I made some mistakes. Afterwards, the band director, you know, he shrugged it off, said, well, it's only high school. And I thought, and that just scarred me for life, right? It could have. But the story, so that was what happened. We played the solo. I made a mistake. The audience clapped. It was all good. People told me I was wonderful. I only thought about the half page that I blew. you know the story because you've got a story like that or 10, right? Here's the illusion part. So the belief that I took away from that is I suck. I'll never be able to perform under pressure. No matter how hard I practice, it's not good enough. It won't work, right? And that story stayed with me for a long time across many different areas of life, that somehow in the final analysis, no matter how cool it looked or how positive, in the final analysis, I would fall short somehow. And I interpreted life to mean that in many ways. And that haunted me for decades underneath subconscious that I was inadequate. I wouldn't be good enough. Can't. Now, you know that drill. I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. Only you probably didn't play Rhapsody in Blue on the piano. But you've had 100 things that are like that for you. So if you're going to change, I know I wanted to change that. When I became aware of the power that this old event still had on me, I wanted to change. Now, my business is the business of change. I sell change. I sell your difference. I sell the ability to make a difference for you, to get something changed in your life, to make not a small change, but a huge difference. Now imagine in that example of me, if I could go from believing that in the final analysis, I wouldn't get the gig, I wouldn't do it right, I would suck, to complete confidence and ability to do my best with no worries and no baggage and just lean in to the performance, whatever it was, speaking, skiing, playing, it would make a world of difference, even if things didn't go exactly right a time or two, because the next time I wouldn't be burdened with that. Carrying that certainty, subconscious or not, that you're always going to mess up, makes you mess up. You know that. You've done that too. So I wanted to change that. Now here, there's three parts to creating change. And there's different ways to describe this. I have a system in the book, Walking Without Fear. You might want to read that too. If there are things about your life that you want to change, and here's how you can tell. I'll be happy when this is over. I can't wait till I get a promotion. I get more money. I get to the weekend. That person leaves me alone. I get over this illness. If you live in a statement where you say that very much at all, then you're being weighed down by bullshit. You're being held back by things that you don't need to be held back by, and they are affecting your cash, your bank account, your business, your relationships, your love of yourself, your relationship with God, and worst of all, the possible future you can live into. So getting rid of those stories is really important. So one place you can find a 5-step, very thorough, powerful process is in a book called Walking Without Fear. And I wrote that book in 2019, 5 years ago, after I had an emergency spinal surgery in the middle of the night, when I had woke up paralyzed that morning from the waist down. Quite a story, but again, this isn't the episode for it. Today, I want to talk about just three elements of change. And the first one is information. So I have given you the information about change. You are living in an illusion. Most of what you believe is bullshit, and it's keeping you stuck where you are. Now, that might be a bold statement, and you might be pissed off at me for saying that. Like, how dare you? You don't know me, and you're right, I don't. And maybe I'll be just delighted to be completely wrong. For you to connect with me on social media and tell me just exactly how wrong I am, that you're living your ultimate life, that things are exactly like you want them to be. And you don't say, oh, it'll be good when I get a better job, when I make more money, when I have that new car, when I get over this. If you're not doing that and you're living in a place where you have purpose, prosperity, and joy all the time, then I'd love to meet you. And the reason is because you're the kind of person I love to have in my circle, and I love to feature you and the good that you're adding to the world on my podcast or here as a guest on the show. And you'll notice the guests we've had are like that. They're people that have made a conscious choice to add good to the world and make effort to do that. So the first thing is you need some new information, because the old operating system and information that we've got is wrong, just like my thought about the piano and my ability to perform under pressure. The second piece after information is transformation, which is the process of making the information effective. Information by itself doesn't do anything. Okay, if I've touched a hot stove, I now have the information that it burns me. If I don't make a transformation, meaning I don't do that anymore, then I'm going to keep burning my hand. Now, that's a silly example, but you know the point. If I realized that I was being held back in my ability to perform under pressure in music and in other situations because of that old story, if I knew that, but I didn't do anything about it, in other words, I didn't take some action to eliminate that old belief, then guess what? It would have stayed active. So information is not enough. Part two is transformation, and that might have several steps, and that's where some of the steps are. I said there were five in the book, Walking Without Fear. So something has to change in me. The third piece is integration, and that is the process of making it operative in a day-to-day life. So, for example, I might know that I need, let's say I'm not healthy, and that has happened. When I was in my late 30s, I was nearly 100 pounds overweight. I was way overweight, and I wasn't healthy at all. And I had information that that wasn't good for me. I had visceral feedback because I had young kids then, and I couldn't play with them like I wanted to. And I don't want to be the overweight father who can't, go camping with his kids if they go in Boy Scouts or whatever, right? I don't want to be that guy. And that not wanting was enough to get me moving on the transformation. Now, the transformation is how we change. So let's say I'm unhealthy and I go for a weekend at a resort, a spa and an exercise thing, and they feed me real healthy, or even if it's 3 or 4 days and I get introduced to some really good vegan food or low fat or healthy, whatever your style of healthy is, and some good exercise regimes and everything, that alone doesn't change unless I carry it forward into my life. So I may have had information about how to do it, transformed myself for 2 or 3 days, but if I don't have a long-term integration plan, I got nothing. And so that's an example. There's 100 other ones about different things, but the steps are information, transformation, integration. And there's a process to get that done. And if you leave any of those out, you're toast. Information without causing change is useless. Causing change without integrating it into your normal life is also useless. That is so, I'll use health again, because I have talked to so many people that say, yeah, I need to get in shape. They join a gym and then immediately it's too far. It's 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes away. And so that extra number of minutes prevents the integration into their life, that extra time. When I was losing all that weight, what I did is I went back to martial arts, which I'd done earlier in my life. And so there were several places I could go, but I picked one that was literally 3 minutes from the house. Close enough that if I wanted to run there, I could, and I did sometimes. Then there was no difficulty with integration. And the classes, I took classes that were after school because they were after work. Also, my work ended at 3. I got home at 3:30. So that process right there allowed integration. So there are the three parts. Information, transformation, integration. Now, I am in the change business, as I mentioned, and that's what I do. And so here's your third invitation. If you have something you want to change, one of the common things I hear is, I'm an entrepreneur. I have a business of some kind, either a main hustle or a side hustle, but I can't find clients. I can't find customers. I don't know how to market. If I do market, I don't know how to sell. I just can't find customers. Can't find customers. You can change that, and you can change it right now. That isn't a big, long, year-long process. That's just a few weeks. You have to change some things you're doing, but you have to make a change. So That is a thing that I help people do. Why? Because I've learned how to do it and because I see it as a huge problem. And for many, especially those that have side hustles or main hustles, entrepreneurs, they want to live that ultimate life where they have freedom and enough cash and also do something that they really enjoy. And you can't do it unless, guess what? You can fill your practice or get clients for your products and services. So that is a thing. If you are struggling with that, reach out to me. I've become an expert at it. Easy. It's simple, but not easy. I'm going to say that. It is simple, meaning the steps to creating that are simple, but they're not easy. All right. So now I want to move on from change, which is the first, you got to be willing to change, own change, love it. It is the natural order of things. We're just now moving into spring. I know it's been spring in other places for a month or two, but up here it's just moving into spring. Trees are just starting to get that green hue. We're moving into the season of life and growth and everything. Oh, that's fun. We had kind of a long winter. It wasn't super cold, but a long winter. Now we're moving into spring. How fun. Change. Change. If you're not going forward, you're going backwards. If you're not improving, you're dying. Embrace it, lean into it, and learn to love it. Learn to own it. Learn to allow it to work for you. Now I want to get into deeper into the idea of we live in this illusion, because I talk to people about change. I had three different conversations today with people that two of them are fairly new and one's a longtime friend. And the topic of those conversations in different forms was change. And for each one, it was identifying a specific thing that wasn't going like they wanted it to in their lives. And they wanted to change it. I need to change this. I need to change this. And often when we say that, what we mean, maybe unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, I don't know, what we seem to mean is, I want to buy some special sauce or special tool or special magic bullet or some bright, shiny object that isn't hard to do, that doesn't make me do anything different, that doesn't take any time, and that is magically guaranteed to get me some result that is way different than what I have now. Well, there isn't such a thing. Yet billions of dollars are made by making those promises. So when I say I sell change and sell you the ability to create anything you want, just read the results equation. I can help you get any gift, any goal you want, but it isn't going to do itself and it isn't going to allow you to skip the work. It'll allow you to be more organized, focused, and do it in less time, but it won't be magic. And when people say, I want something to change, that's often what they mean. I want something else to do the work. I don't want it to be hard. And I certainly don't want to change what I'm doing or who I'm being. Well, we both know, or we all know, that's madness. That is the classic definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and hoping it's different. The way I talk about that is I say, well, what it sounds like you're looking for is that secret sauce that they sell on aisle 13 and a half. In Safeway. And then, of course, when I say that, I get this funny look. What do you mean 13 and a half? Well, I say, well, that's like platform 9 3/4. All of you that are familiar with Harry Potter know you got to platform 9 3/4 by running full speed at a brick support pillar in the train station. And because it was magic and you were, a magic person, you could slide right in and appear on a new platform where only the Hogwarts Express existed. And so it was a magical platform. People are looking for magic solutions. Stop looking for magical solutions. If you want something to change, just buckle in and change it. Buckle in and change it. Now, what I want to talk about here is the reasons we don't. The reasons we don't and what to do about that. So this goes back to this illusion that we live in. How many times does this, or how many of these reasons sound familiar? I don't have time. Yeah, that would be really good to do, but I just don't have time. Another one. Oh, man, I'd love for that. Fill in the outcome, more money, more freedom. But, you know, I just don't have the skill to do that. I'm just not able to do that. I can't think of a single thing. No, you know, just not me. Or I don't have a supportive partner. I've broached this idea with my partner, significant other, wife, husband, whatever, get no support. They don't want me to, you know, they just don't think I can do it. Or 100 other reasons. I've tried this so many times before and nothing works for me. I'm different. Well, I got news for you, and it's good news, actually. Well, bad news and good news, same thing. The bad news is it's a story. You own it and you are living it in truth. And as long as you keep owning it and living it, it will remain true. And you will not be able to change because you believe you can't. Because you have a story that it's beyond your reach. Because you have a story that whatever's happened to you before has turned you into something that can't be fixed, as it were, or changed, or improved, or that doesn't have the power. As long as you cling to that limitation, then it will remain true. One of the funny ways I heard that expressed is stop arguing for your limitations. So here's a question for you. Pick an area in your life right now where you'd like something dramatically different. Money, relationship, happiness, physical health, relationship with God, confidence, ability to speak, any area. Now that you've thought of it, I want you to tell yourself why you can't change that. Now, if this is something really important to you, what I know just happened is you said one of those things. I don't have time. Another one, I don't know how. I don't have time. I don't know how. I don't know where to start. I don't have any support. It won't work. I know other people can, but not for me. I know you said one of those things or some variation of that. And I can promise you, as long as you cling and argue for that limitation, it will remain true in your life. So what do you do? You can. It sounds like a catch-22, except it's not. Because you're a divine being. The truth is, you invented those limitations. Now, you may have had help inventing them, okay? But you still invented them, and you still cling to them. Now, let's go back to my example of the piano. The mistakes happened. My band director saying, "Oh, that's only high school." That happened. My mom acting disappointed that I had made those mistakes. That happened. The long-term effect of that was my choice. I created the story that that event meant that I could never XYZ. I would fold under pressure. I would screw it up. I wouldn't be able to do it. I would never get the gig. And that went on for a long time. I remember a stark example decades later. That happened in 1973, I think. In the year 2000, so almost 30 years later, 27 years later. No, it would have been 1999, 26 years later. I'm walking down the street in San Francisco. I'm an adult. I've had a job for a long time. I'm married. I have some kids. And I had just interviewed the day before or that morning for a position. I just got word that I did not get selected. I was one of the last two finalists, and I didn't get selected. Now, my reaction to that news was frustrating, negative. I clenched my fist and screamed at the sky, "I never get the gig. I never get the gig." Right? That is a story. And I know that that story was affected by that perpetual baggage that I carried about my capability. It took a long time for me to figure out that I was carrying that baggage and then some work to get rid of it. But I can tell you that I don't have it anymore. I do get the gig. I know how to create it. I know how to perform and do things well under pressure. But that's something I had to learn, and I had to get rid of that story, that illusion, in order to make that true. So since we live in an illusion, and now you know that, so you have the information, the next step is transformation. How are you going to create change with that? What if for just a moment right now, every single limit you have, how much money you make, how happy you are, how healthy you are, what you're able to create, your destiny, what your future holds, what if all of the limits that you have about that, oh, I probably can't do that, oh, that'll never work, what if all of those disappear and you believed with all your heart, I can do that. I can't wait to create that. Oh, that is such a beautiful and exciting thought. I'm going to start right this second. And then you go make plans and you get on the way. Like, what if all of the weight dropped off of your legs and your feet and the rocks in your backpack? What if all of those were gone? When I ask a question similar to that to prospects or clients or just people in conversation, it's funny because you can see the visceral change in their faces and in their bodies. They sit up and, oh, well, then I'd free. Oh, I'd love my life. I'd be able to just go do this and that. Oh, and they say that. Oh, like sometimes several times. Oh, wow, that would be so, oh, wow. And you know what's funny? Nothing changed. We're still sitting in chairs or on Zoom talking to each other. The only thing that changed was up here. And that was a moment of going from darkness and limitation to light and freedom. And it all happened up here, but the effect on them was visceral and real. Posture changed, tonality changed, words changed, faces brightened. So I want you to consider for a moment, what would you do if that most precious thing that you don't think you can have, if suddenly all the limitations were gone and you knew you could create that? It feels completely different, doesn't it? Now, I'm not saying that you snap your fingers or that I snap my fingers and suddenly Amazon delivers a box of gold bars and you're rich. Nobody thinks that would happen anyway. I don't know that. And when that does happen in the form of people winning the lotteries and stuff like that, you know the horror stories about that. There seems to be something about the creation process that validates the ownership. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. What it means is that if you delete the baggage, if you delete the weights from your feet, you can fly. If you delete the negative images from your heart, you can soar. If you delete the doubts from your heart, you can create anything you want. And that's a real truth. Like, there's no reason that you can't do that except you won't allow yourself to do it. Now, we've, like I said a minute ago, we've grown up in a world that expects things to happen right away and without a lot of effort. That isn't how it works. But I promise you, you can't create stuff if you're carrying around all those rocks. So step one is to examine the things you want. Step two is to examine the beliefs that you have around those things. All the places where you feel like, I can't because, it'll never work because, I've tried that before and it doesn't, you know, all of the things that start with, well, that kind of energy and feeling. Examine those, list them down, and then conduct a ceremonial burning. Tear the page out, burn it, and let it be gone, because none of those are true until you let them be true. And they will no longer be true if you don't own them, if you don't cling to them. Now, in saying that, I want to acknowledge the truth of our real world that we live in. Like, there are practical realities. One conversation I had today, I was visiting with a fellow, and he said, well, I just can't click my fingers and move into this new house. I said, no. But if you believe you can never do it, you never will. And if you believe you can, then you can start taking the steps to get there. The idea of, you know, clicking our fingers, nothing grows like that. Trees don't grow like that. The seasons, as they pass, they don't work like that. When I was talking about losing weight in that in my late 30s, which was about 30 years ago, and joining a martial arts studio that was 3 minutes from the house, that began a two-year-long process. Okay, for 2 years, I went to that particular studio until we moved, and then I went to a different one. But for 2 years, I went to that studio regularly, at least twice and sometimes three times a week, every afternoon. I worked hard. I pushed myself. After a few months, one workout a day wasn't enough. So I had to do two because my body plateaued. But it wasn't 2 years. It took about 9 or 10 months. And I had lost all the weight, all of it. I had gotten really good at the martial arts, and eventually I earned a black belt and then a second degree black belt over the years. And that was no click of the fingers, but it was dropping the story that I can never do that and creating a new reality, a new belief that was empowering, which is, I will, I can, I'm taking regular action. The reason I said in the beginning of the show that this firebird behind me, this phoenix, was a really good background for today is because if you want something easy, then it doesn't take a ton of commitment and, you know, a good coach and a lot of effort. It may be a simple thing. But I'll bet you that simple thing isn't something that you've been putting off forever. It's just a simple thing. If you want to do something like lose 100 pounds or make your next $1 million or completely overhaul your relationship with yourself or get rid of your fear of public speaking or learn to speak for money or create products and services online or start a business and become an entrepreneur and sell a product or service so you don't have to work for someone else. If you want to do something that requires a lot of effort, you're going to have to show up like that. And I'm pointing at the phoenix for those that are listening. Behind me is a great big multicolored phoenix that is red flame and orange and yellow and blue and almost green in the very bottom parts of it. And it's a beautiful picture and it's literally fire. And those of you that know the story of the phoenix know that it's a mythological bird. Maybe not mythological. Maybe they're real phoenixes. Phoenixes? Yeah, not phoenix. Phoenixes. Anyway. They live a life and then they burn. They catch fire and burn, and the new chick rises from the ashes. Well, that is a more powerful, more joyful, and wonderful way to live than bogged down in the stories of I can't, it's not my season, I don't have time, I don't know how, it's not for me, maybe somebody else, and on and on and on. So here's your invitation. Here's your invitation and a promise. I promise you, anything you want to accomplish, if you're willing to get the help you need and take the action, you can get there. That is an absolute promise. Just like if I live in LA and I get on the road and start walking to Denver, eventually I will get there if I don't stop. You can accomplish your goals. You're a divine being. You have gifts and talents. You have capability. There are many times in your life where you feel that yearning to be more. Listen to them. Give in. Say yes. So that's the first promise. You can have anything you want if you want to walk the road that gets there. The second promise is this. All I do, whether I'm talking on this show, my podcast, coaching clients, working with executive teams, teaching people about how to create energy or time management, or working with entrepreneurs about how to get more clients, or any one of the dozen other classes that I have, the only thing I'm trying to do is meet my goal of helping 250 million people this year realize who you really are. You're a phoenix that's maybe not on fire right now. You're a divine being. You have that capability. I don't care how long you've ignored it, poured water on it, or stuffed it down. You can have that. That's all I do. So the second offer is I'd like to offer to help you. If you're interested, the first thing you need to do is go to this URL on the screen, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Now, that's different than the Master Your Monsters, but it here at Your Ultimate Life, www.yourultimatelife.ca, there's another free gift, and it's called 5 Steps to Your Ultimate Life. Now, both Master Your Monsters and Your Ultimate Life and all the books that I've written with one purpose only, and that is to share with you actions, strategies, tools that work to elevate your life, to elevate your money, to elevate your motivation, to elevate your heart, to make your life, to enrich your life, to make it more fun, more joyful, and more powerful. That's all I do. I love it. I am in the people encouragement business, and I love being in that business. I love being in a business where I get to just love people and help them do good, be good, reach for the stars, and then get there and hit their goals and exceed them. So that's the second or maybe the third one. Go to yourultimatelife.ca and get those free things. They're real and powerful. The third or fourth, whichever invitation I'm on, is this. I'd like to talk with you. I love meeting people. And part of what's happened to me in my journey, the 16 years since I made this radical transformation in 2007, is I've become a real lover of people. I love to meet people. It wasn't true before. I was afraid, and I hid, and I carried the baggage and stories like we talked about earlier. But I have become, I am become the alchemist of life. I love you. I love people. I love the yearning in your heart. I even love the sadness that you carry because it reminds me of what I used to carry. And in the meeting of people, I love to encourage you, to remind you of your own divinity and capability and power. So I would invite you to connect. You can get on my list by going to one of those places, masteryourmonsters.com or yourultimatelife.ca, or reach out to me on social media. I'd love to get acquainted with you. I'd love to hear what you're up to, what you're trying to create, what the yearning of your heart says to you that maybe you've been ignoring like I did for decades. I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. So that's the third invitation, or maybe it's the fourth. Connect with me. Let's get acquainted. The last invitation, and I'll quit using numbers because I'm not sure what number I'm on, is this. I love talking to people who have these success stories. Stories of resilience, stories of overcoming. If you have overcome illness or cancer or addictions or battles with relationships or abuse or any of those kinds of things, and you have become a beacon of light to others, you have become a success story, and you have that yearning to share, man, I want to talk to you also because I want to feature you. I want to promote you. I want to help you reach your audience. I'm going to help you reach the people that you can serve. You know, it's fun. One of the most fun parts about the work that I do is I do meet a lot of people, and not everyone, but nearly everyone I meet has a story. And I know everyone I meet does have a story, but I get to find out a lot of them. And a lot of the stories include struggle, include heartache, include things that seem totally unfair. But you know what the fun part is? The stories include a choice to become victorious, a choice to say, I will not be sidetracked, beat down, or defeated by these unfair things that happened, that others did or that life did. I won't. I choose to rise above, to refine myself instead of allowing these things to ruin me. I think about that. When those hard things happen, they either ruin us or they refine us. And sometimes they do both. Sometimes they ruin us first and later we allow them to refine us. Anyway, if that's you, I want to talk to you also because I know how to get you in front of your audience. I know how to spread your story. I know how to help you create books and courses and things that allow you to share the truth of your heart. And that's my mission. You can have the ultimate life. You can have a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy if you're willing to walk the road. This is your invitation to do that. I have walked that road from darkness, despair, and death to light, love, and life. I invite you to join me. If I can help, I'd love to. Because one thing I know for sure, if you're willing to do the work, nothing can keep you from creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.